Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
And now, it's the Mike Calta Show.
On the Mike Calta Show, it's 102.5 The Bone. Our phone numbers 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. I enjoy the Instagram. I think out of all the social media platforms, that's my favorite. I don't watch TikTok because I'll spend too many hours watching it. Trying to look at young girls shake their thing. Next thing you know, I'm learning dances.
Yeah, I am absolutely blown away by Instagram where they have the pause game. Yep. And what they're doing now, it is something
you
else.
See everything.
Yeah.
My thing that blows me away the most is women who are pretending to breastfeed with fake children.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I'm not mad at any of it, and I'm blown away how that's allowed, but also don't care.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Anyway, one of the things that I do enjoy is this next gentleman, Cody Tucker. Cody does a show on YouTube where he interviews people and talks about things, but he does good reels on Instagram where he talks about just interesting things. It's not always the same. Sometimes it's about history. A lot of times it's about Hollywood. Sometimes it's about music, celebrity relations. And I thought he'd be a great addition to the show. Let's join Cody Tucker to the program. Cody, how are you, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Sorry to get you up so early. Because you're in Central Time, right?
Yeah, I'm in Texas. But no worries.
How often do you do your YouTube show?
Once a week. It comes out every Tuesday.
Now, I got to be honest, I did not watch it on purpose, but I watched a lot of your reels, and I just went and looked at just some of the things there. You got some guests that we have had on the show, comedians. Mm-hmm. But you do like the porn stars too, huh?
Oh yeah, always good guests for sure.
All right, what do we got today?
All right, so I think a pretty interesting story. It kind of goes into what I like to do on the old Instagram reels, like do some callbacks and all that good stuff. You want me to just kind of go into it?
You roll through it, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
All right, man, sounds good. So for this story, starts off with a fellow named George Morrison. Now, George Morrison joins the Navy in 1941, ends up getting sent to Hawaii, which, if you don't know much about history, in Hawaii about this time, a little event happens called Pearl Harbor. George Morrison witnesses Pearl Harbor. Now, fast forward, George has climbed up the ranks of the Navy, and in the 1960s, we start getting some trouble in Vietnam. Well, the event that, most people would say kickstarts the Vietnam War for us is the Gulf of Tonkin. The commander of the naval forces during the Gulf of Tonkin was George Morrison. Now, also, George Morrison has had a son named James Douglas Morrison, a.k.a. Jim Morrison, the singer of The Doors. So the guy who basically started the Vietnam War is the father of the singer of The Doors. Now, fast forward to 1968, a young Vietnam vet has written a script for a movie about his experiences in Vietnam. The movie at the time is called Break. The person that he wants to play the lead in that movie is Jim Morrison. Now, he gets that script sent to Morrison. By this time, Jim Morrison's already living in Paris, where on July 3rd, 1971, he dies from supposedly heart failure. In his possession at the time of his death is that same screenplay. Now, the fellow who wrote that screenplay was a young man named Oliver Stone.
Wow.
And 15 years later, that script for The Break would be turned into the movie Platoon. Morrison's role ends up getting played by Charlie Sheen. 5 years after that, Oliver Stone ends up directing the movie The Doors, covering the life and death of Jim Morrison.
I knew that Morrison's dad was a military guy,
yeah,
but I didn't know all that about Oliver Stone. And I've After the JFK movie, I got into Oliver Stone a little bit, maybe a little too obsessively, but I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Oh, dude, Oliver Stone. I mean, well, Oliver Stone and Jim Morrison combined is about 24 hours worth of crazy stories. So
that's insane. So now, do you remember, I don't even know if you know anything about this, but do you remember any of the actors that they had before Val Kilmer or they had talked about to play Jim Morrison?
I don't.
For The Doors, at one point, Bill Paxton was, I know, pretty high up on the list, which is wild.
I love Bill Paxton.
Yeah. And then I think maybe Kevin Costner at one point.
Oh, really? That would have been awful.
Horrible. I mean, Bill Paxton's dead.
Both great actors, but yeah, weird as Jim Morrison.
Yeah, I and then Val Kilmer at that point, I mean, what had he done to really make you think that he could pull that off? But I know, you know who lobbied for it hard was Bono.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Bono was trying hard to play it, which I can't see that either. That's crazy. Now, where do you come across most of your information? Like, where do you find this stuff that you've, because I always find all this stuff interesting.
Man, I mean, well, appreciate it for sure, but no, I just read a lot.
Yeah.
I have a lot of time to myself, so a lot of reading, a lot of just trying to find little nuggets of, you know, something interesting, and then try to piece it all together and, you know, make a little story.
Oliver Stone wrote Platoon and wanted Jim Morrison to play in Platoon. The irony that his father was one of the catalysts in starting the war, and then he dies. Now he dies, they say, of heart failure, but some people even still think he's still alive, and still, maybe not anymore, but was still out there drinking and hanging out in Paris for a little while, which would be interesting.
That would be crazy.
Well, dude, I hopefully you can hit us with a nugget every week, man. I love hearing about this stuff.
Dude, absolutely, man. No problem at all.
I want to get the audience, to see some of your stuff. What's the best place they can find you?
I mean, Instagram, definitely to check out the reels. I'm at the Cody Tucker. And then if you want to watch the podcast, that's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, you know, anywhere you get podcasts. It's the Cody Tucker Show.
I have a limited amount of attention span, so if I can hear that story the way you told it and that amount of time and that delivery, it's perfect for me. I learned something fun today. I'll probably talk to three more people about it, and I think that that's what's the most interesting. You can ingest it in a decent amount of time and hear a good story. So I'll link you up on our Instagram again so people can find you, and we'll check in with you next week.
All right, man. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. There you go. There's Cody Tucker.
It's interesting because it kind of harkens back to everybody heard the story of Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy. Kennedy had a secretary named like one of those things where you find out all this stuff, or you find out that Tommy Lee Jones was college roommates with Al Gore. And you're like, what? What is? How does that happen? You know,
there was one recently with O.J. Simpson, how like if the Bills, if a team, I forget the teams were playing, like if the team hadn't lost the game, the Bills wouldn't have the pick. They wouldn't have picked O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson then met Nicole Brown Simpson because he was in Buffalo, which means the Kardashian, and it was all the way up to, it basically led to that the Bills created the Kardashians. Kim Kardashian, because the dad wouldn't have been involved in the case, which means he wouldn't have been famous. It was this whole just list decision.
It is crazy to wonder different decisions that you made in your life, how things could have completely turned out different.
The butterfly effect.
Yeah, like, for sure.
One thing.
I mean, I think about this all the time. I mean, I've got abruptly fired twice from my job. The first time I kind of knew that wasn't going to last much longer anyway. But then the second one was going to be my big break. You know what I mean? I was doing my show. I was on 90 Rock. Everything was going great. They paid me a ton of money. I'm like, this is it. This is the best. And then I get fired 3 months later. And I'm like, well, I mean, how? That was my way. You know what I mean? It never goes the way you think it's going to go. My number one case of it is Flo from, I always talk about it from Progressive. Yeah. Flo moved to California and she was going to be the next Meryl Streep. And then all of a sudden she got a gig as Flo and that's it. She will never be Meryl Streep now, but she will live a great life as Flo from Progressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it never goes the way you plan. No. And it doesn't mean it's not good.
Right.
If it didn't go that way. He did a really good one last week. The one that made me call him, which I don't know. I talked to me off the air. I don't know if I talked to you on the air about Steve McQueen.
I think you did whenever you were saying, but you can.
Steve McQueen was got invited to a party and called this girl and said, hey, you want to go to this party with me? And she said, yeah. And then later on that night, she didn't feel like going to the party. and they stayed home and watched TV. And meanwhile, that party was where Charles Manson went in there and they killed everybody at the party. And he had a hit list on him. And number two on his hit list was Steve McQueen. So it's very likely had that girl wanted to go to the party, Steve McQueen would end up dead.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Steve McQueen's pretty tough, too. Maybe he would have got out of it. I don't know what Charlie Belcher's doing right now, but I want to eat all those shrimp. Oh, man, that looks delicious.
I don't know, man. I can't stop thinking about the pizza cupcake.
Pizza puffs?
By the way, they open at 10:30.
Do they really?
Little Caesars.
A pizza puff? Oh, I guess for people getting lunch and stuff.
Yeah. It's open at 10:30. People start rolling in, you know.
I've been distracted since 6:30 a.m. Yeah.
I want shrimp and grits now because of that, what he's doing on there.
Bobby's flight got delayed, so I'm happy about that. Nice. So it works out perfect. We don't have to rush out of here after the show. Yeah, tomorrow Bobby Kelly will be in the studio with us. He'll be in the house today, and then in the studio with us tomorrow morning. Then we head down to Vasani to do some comedy and perhaps some fishing.
Oh, fishing. Yeah,
still have not locked that in yet.
Now, do you have to go on a boat to fish? That's what you prefer. You don't just want to like roll up to some dock and cast your line.
I actually prefer the dock.
Yeah,
but I don't have enough equipment or know enough things about.
Gotcha.
For me, everything is just put it on a hook and throw it out there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the number one reason why I know that, I don't know, because when I used to fish in the lake all the time, and I got nothing. I went to Dick's Sporting Goods one time, and I said, I like to fish on a lake. And they said, you need this, this, and this. And I went there, and next day caught my first fish.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you fish on a lake, a worm and a bobber is always going to work for you. If you fish in you know, the brackish water, the salt water, whatever, just get some small bait and hook it on there and just throw it out.
And you need to wait. You'll need to wait. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but then if you're, you know, which fish do you have to drop it to the bottom? Which fish do you keep moving it around? Which fish do you just let sit there? You know what I'm saying?
Usually anytime you're throwing it off a dock, you want to keep that bait moving because everything's going to be alive in
you
there.
You don't want bottom feeders.
Yeah. And you're not going to, like, if you're throwing it in the ocean or in the bay, you want, like, the last foot of your line to be some type of metal wire.
Leader.
Because, the fish are going to be bigger.
Oh, boy, you guys know a lot.
Those people, I always see like a ton of people there at the Skyway, that pier that's off to the side.
Mm-hmm. I used to fish a lot.
Yeah.
Like, we used to actually have vacations around fishing.
Yeah. I mean, I did too, but it's been so long ago. Yeah. I don't really, and my Uncle Joe did everything, so
I wouldn't mind going fishing. Because there really is a fine line. It's the old joke, fine line of between fishing and standing on the shore with a pole in your hand. Yeah. You know what I mean? You want to catch stuff.
Yeah.
And when we used to stay up in Sandestin, the golf course, the golf course would be filled with fish and the thing, because you would see the bugs and they'd come up and get them and stuff, and it was a bunch of bass and everything, so you just toss in there and catch all kind of stuff.
Right.
Favorite type of fishing I ever did was in the Colorado River for my 18th birthday, and it was fly fishing. It's the only time I've ever gone
rainbow
fly
trout?
Fishing. Yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah. I was the only one that caught anything that day.
Yeah, if you know how to fly fish, you're in good shape.
It was a blast, dude. Yeah. You could put the waders on, and you're out in the middle of the river.
Just waiting for something to snatch
in. You know who does that all the time? Arthur Fonzarelli.
Damn right he does.
Henry Winkler, yeah.
He loves to be in the boat, that guy, or waiting,
My scumbag stepfather was big into fishing.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
I
passionately hate fishing, and this conversation's making me angry.
I'm sorry, GL.
I hate fishing so much.
Why don't we go fishing together, and we'll change the feeling, you know, associated with us.
I hate fishing so much because of that. It makes me angry.
We could do some of the psilocybin therapy, man. Take some mushrooms, go fishing, rewire your brain. Yeah.
I probably should just see a therapist.
Well,
I want to know how to go to the Skyway and fish off the Skyway.
Yeah,
pier. That's what I want.
I'm sure it's easy to get over there.
Oh, it's simple to get there. Yeah. You got the whole pier.
Yeah.
Why don't we plan one night? We'll get Iverson and we'll get the Sprinter and we'll drive out there. We'll have Tom drive us out there. Yeah. And we'll all fish out this. Off the Sprinter's good. You should go get some air conditioning every once in a while. We'll put the TV on.
The St. Pete Pier is a little bit. It's a walk because you can't. You know, park right on the pier.
People fish off the pier.
Yeah, man. They some people that catch some.
But
really
how
big
far
fish.
Down are you dropping your line in? Like, is
depends
it
what they want
to
catch.
No. But I'm saying, like, just off the pier to hit the water. How far is it? Down?
Oh, that probably 10 feet. I want to say it's not as high as it used to. Yeah, it's not as high as it used to be.
Yeah, I would feel like you're 50 feet before even in water.
No, it's pretty good. And there are a bunch of dolphins that always come up there in the evening because they want to eat the fish that everybody catches.
So. Yesterday, after we talked about fighting on the show, my wife, of course, is my wife, so she said that I would beat you up, but everybody else seems to think the opposite. And then my son came in, and I said to him, realistically, if I were to box Spanish, who would win? And he looked at me and he goes, you would kill Spanish. And I go, that's how I think, but everybody seems to think different. And he goes, all right, he will hit you more, but his punches won't be as effective as the one that you connect with him. And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So all I really need to do is get you one time.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, I'm not dumb. I know, like, I'm going to get injured in there. Like, there's no way I'm escaping that without injury.
You actually had me second guessing myself for a second yesterday.
Me? You should.
Yeah. Oh, your confidence.
I'm sorry. What was that, Carmen?
I said, you should.
Yeah. That's fine. Your confidence and then Dizzy calling in and Dizzy saying, Spanish is going to beat me up, and now it made me hate Dizzy even more. First they invited me to his birthday party, now he thinks you're going to beat me up.
I don't want to give away Spanish's game plan, but there's going to be a lot of in and out where you have to catch him, and you have to catch him with the right hit, and he's going to be lower than you. He's going to come in a lot lower, so you're punching down, which you're not going to get as much power.
Or I'm punching up.
But you have to get down to get up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You get down, you may not get back up again.
No.
Yeah, because when you, well, not, you know. Not
I may hit him and he may never land.
When you throw like uppercuts like that, your feet usually give those punches away way before you're even throwing them.
True.
Yeah.
Certainly for somebody who's never thrown an uppercut before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spanish told me you wouldn't even land a punch.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said, Michael.
My thing that impresses me the most is Tyson Fury. If I'm fighting anything, if I'm punching anything, not fighting, my strength comes from my core, from my body. You twist and you. Tyson Fury is so big that he can extend his arms and box you from out here like he does this. Yeah. That blows my mind. Yeah. Like most fighters you see in the UFC, they do that and they're just nonsense punches. Tyson Fury can extend his arms fully and fight you like this and still make it effective.
Yeah, dude.
That's pretty crazy.
He's got whip arms.
He does.
Yeah.
He does have whip arms.
Yeah.
That's so insane to me.
Yeah. He's a great fighter.
I'll tell you, I'm going to UFC 303. With Conor McGregor, I'm getting more and more nervous now that's going to happen. No. I saw him on the doctor's table.
Yeah, so Conor put out a picture of him in the doctor's office trolling people, but it's like, what is going on? And the whole thing is Dana White put out a thing the other day, a video talking about the next UFC. Didn't mention anything about 303 or what's going on or why the press conference. Nothing about that, just setting up the next card.
What's going on?
Yeah, you got to let people know what's happening.
Mike Tyson, now this. What do you do if you've already bet on it? Like, if you've already bet on the fight, they give you it back?
Yeah. If it's canceled. So it
they'll still have UFC 303. Yeah. They would just find another different main event.
Yeah,
but now if I'm going all the way to Las Vegas to see Conor McGregor fighting and I end up seeing something dumb, that's really stink.
Right.
I'm excited to go to the fight. I'm going out there with my son and my, Pete and his son, but I just don't know.
I also would have to think they would have to offer the money back if you bought tickets to see Conor McGregor and you're paying that exorbitant amount of money because it's Conor McGregor and then you get Joe Schmo who's, fighting on a regular basis. Like
all sales final.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. Those are expensive tickets.
Right.
Just ridiculous.
Oh, did you get those ones you were talking about?
No, I got a couple of things going on. I got Vinny tickets, JP's working on it for me.
Those were a lot.
This guy, he makes the most sense, though. He's like, listen, I got people. He goes, I know what the good deals are and what the bad deals are and all that. So he's working on it for me. But I'll definitely end up getting tickets unless Conor McGregor. I told Pete, if Conor McGregor's not fighting, we should pull back, not go to the fight, and go to Vegas a different time.
Night on the town.
Yeah. Just watch a sports book.
Right.
You know,
well, if McGregor's not fighting, I don't want
to. Even if you want to watch the fight, whatever, just watch it at Sportsbook. To your point, if you make a bet on something, let's say you're making a bet on the Celtics and Porzingis isn't playing, but you made a bet on it, but then you find out that he's not playing. If he doesn't play at all, then you get your money back.
Really?
But if he plays for 30 seconds and goes out, you lose your money.
No kidding.
Yeah. They have to actually be in there to do it.
Now, if let's say the scenario he doesn't play at all, would they just give you that money back, or do you have to ask them?
You automatically get it back. Right. Even if you had a parlay, they would pay you out, but it'd be a less amount because of the odds of that him doing whatever he was going to do, rebounds or whatever it may be.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
I love gambling, but I am not good at it.
I love it so much.
Oh, dude.
Pete owes me $5,000.
Oh.
And
from just over time? Or?
No. For flights to Vegas.
Okay.
And then he goes, I'll give you that money in Vegas so that you have money. I go, no, don't do that. I'll spend it all in Vegas.
IOU.
Yeah.
No. Trust me, Pete's got the money. I'm not worried about that. But I don't want him to hand me $5,000 in cash in Vegas. Yeah. I want to pay that off before we even leave. I'll never come back with that money.
This sounds like the Montreal screw job. Oh, yeah, Mike. We'll give you the money when we get there. Yeah. We'll settle up.
Do you know how many times I clear my account for Hard Rock Bet because I pay off other stuff? I take the money out immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I win, I cannot leave it in there because I will bet on other stuff.
Yep. I make dumb bets when I've got extra money in there.
Right. So I will take it out. So if it's like, you know, I have $860, I'll take the $800 out. Pay whatever I need to pay, pay stuff in advance, do whatever, and then that $60, I'll go, okay, I'll make a bet here on this or whatever.
As soon as I got up a little bit, I was like, oh, and I started making just dumb bets, and I'm like, and then I would lose. I looked back, I'm like, why did I even bet on that? And I I knew nothing about it. I just saw the line, saw the thing, went boop, and just made the bet.
My Hard Rock bet balance is $1.91 right now. Deontay Wilder took all my money. I just was chasing cash.
Yeah, I had to dial way back. I'm going to wait till football season.
That's the thing. It was fun to bet on table tennis for a little while, but now I can't wait for football. I mean, they have some really good stuff on their darts.
I have never made one bet on table tennis, I will tell you that.
What?
You
did?
No.
Oh, I thought we were all doing it during the show.
You guys were doing it, and I didn't do it.
It was fun for a minute because it's so quick. And you know, you make your bet and then you get the result within like 5 minutes.
But here's the thing. So just so you people know, if you haven't been on this thing, you're betting on table tennis. Then you can click a button and you can watch either the computer illustration of the ball going back and forth, or watch the match live on the app.
It looks like it's in some warehouse like Russia or something.
I want to be able to bet on those Romanian fights where it's one guy versus two chicks
or suplex basketball.
How can we bet on that, dude?
Oh, all right. Our phone number is 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. You want to get on the lines? I got to take a break. Before we go to break, I want to tell you about the UFC. If you want to go see UFC 303 with Conor McGregor, you can do that by simply going to your favorite watering hole and looking for the QR code. And I'm talking about all over the Tampa Bay area, like the Surfside Tap House on Mandalay Avenue in Clearwater, Toucans also on Mandalay. But if you're over there in Tampa, you could stop by Sticks Billiards in Oldsmar, Irish 31 in West Chase.
Riveters right there on Dale Mabry.
Yeah, Riveters, the Blind Goat, the Press Box are all over the place. Even out in Riverview, you can stop by the gas station at the Riverview Sunoco.
And I believe this is the last week to sign up for it.
If you go to BudLightUFC.com, you can get a full list of locations. Stop in there, scan the QR code. Like Alvin said, this may be the last week, so get in there, scan it, and then you'll be entered to win a trip for two to this fight, which I will see you out at. All happening in June. We will take a break. It's the Mike Calta Show. This is 102.5 The Bone.
You're listening to the Mike Calta Show. Now, a Bone traffic update from the Farrah and...
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.